time, weather, and...
Always!
Welcome to Regular Black Women with Jaquetta Sotmari. Regular women, irregular talk.
I'm very excited today to be speaking with Dr. Nazari Hines Starr. She is the author of Why Every Black Woman Should Marry a Jewish Man, a book for all women looking for the perfect alpha male. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write this book? Were you, as I am, really just frustrated with hearing a lot of black women complaining about not being able to find specifically a black man or men in general? Or did this come up solely out of your experience and being successful in finding a mate for yourself?
Yeah, I would say mostly it came from the observations that I was able to see firsthand in my husband's family. And then I would go back to my girlfriends and you know, tell them what was going on. And so that's how it originally started.
So when you began to write the book, what concerns did you have about differentiating it from all the other, and there's a lot of other literature out there for black women trying to find a man. How did you endeavor to make your book different?
A lot of the other experts tend to blame black women a lot with the conditions of our dating pool and the low marriage rates. And some of it is our fault, but not all of it. And I think you just to even it out a little bit, I kind of do look at the other side and what's going on with our community and what's at the root of why, you know, we have, you know, 70% of our children living in single parent households versus, you know, where it was in the 60s and 70s, it was, you know, we had 70% in two parent households.
So I love the, in your book, you point out the statistics, which I think is always important to look at, that the statistics are against black women finding a black man. You cite that there are 1.8 million more black women. And then you also talk about the disparities in education. So what is some of the controversy that you've been getting towards your book? Do they look at the facts that and figures that you're pointing out, or are they just attacking you on ideological basis?
Yes, they're attacking me on on ideological basis. Without actually reading the book, I might add too. So I think once people read the book and they can see where I'm coming from and you know, and my heart's in the right place. I really want this book to spark a conversation that our community really needs.
I like that you talk about how in most communities, if there's a problem with the men, the community rallies around to help those men get themselves together. And you mentioned, and I agree with this, that we're not really seeing this in the black community. So what do you think are some of the reasons behind why black leaders seem to be putting more of the focus on people who have it together as opposed to putting some of the focus on people who don't have it together?
Oh, I honestly don't know. I think maybe they're not really seeing that as having a big effect on, you know, low marriage rates, or they may think that it's not their place to go into, you know, people's personal relationships. That maybe that, I mean, I'm not sure, but I wish we did have the leadership doing something positive. I know there are some entertainers that have done made some efforts. Steve Harvey has a camp that he takes in young boys that, you know, may not have a male role model in their lives and, you know, kind of gives them some training on manhood. That's excellent. And I wish we had more of that.
Mm-hmm. That I didn't know about that. I only know about his book that he wrote to black women. I think it was How to Think Like a Lady but Act Like a Man. And there was, I'm not into that type of literature. I'm more interested in something that's going to help people solve problems. That seemed like kind of a blame the victim type of book. And that's, your book is the opposite of that. Your book is really about empowering black women. And I might add, it seems that you put the emphasis on professional black women. Is that a correct assessment?
Yes, I think so.
So your book is really looking at how professional black women, so black women who have 1-2 degrees, if they don't have a degree, they're on a professional path and they're looking for a particular type of man. And often from the community, we're hearing that women need to lower their standards because the type of man that they are looking for is simply not available to them. So in your book, you address this. You tell women that they do not have to lower their standards, but you advocate looking outside of the community for this. So why particularly Jewish men?
I didn't know this at first, but we do have a lot in common. You know, there's a common past. You know, they've had discrimination and marginalization in America as well. And, you know, they value education, very family orientated. And I mean, but we had this at one point in our community. It's just somewhere after, you know, when the 70s ended, a lot of things changed.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's in my the little amount of research that I've been doing and then talking to older people. It seems like the 60s and 70s, something happened that really kicked off the disintegration of the black family and the black community in general. No one seems to be able to put a finger on it. And I think maybe that's a part of the problem why we can't figure out how we should fix it.
Right.
So in the book, you mentioned that there's a Jewish way of dating. And just full disclosure for people who are listening, I grew up with a lot of Jewish friends around. So I'm familiar with Jewish guys and the way that they think about dating. But I would like you to tell listeners, what is the Jewish way of dating?
Well, the Jewish way of dating, I like to say it's a more common sense approach to dating. So, you know, when you're out there, you base a lot on personality, what type of person you're more compatible with, and just if your values are similar, your beliefs are similar, your take on life, what do you want to get out of life? All those things, and then let the heart follow afterwards, instead of doing the heart first and then hoping and praying that that person is in line with you as far as compatibility, because then, you know, it may be too late.
It definitely seems like a more common sense approach. I've noticed from the interaction I've had with people in the Jewish community that they take it very seriously. And that dating, for the most part, is a setup that's going to lead to a longer relationship that will eventually lead to marriage. Yes. And they seem to have a lot of their culture is set up to orient people in that direction.
Yes.
So how did you meet your husband?
We met on AfroRomance.com. It's an interracial dating site.
Okay.
But we have both been in other sites before that. That was, I think it was my third site. And I think my husband had been in JDate and Yahoo. So we just, I mean, you know, if one site doesn't work, then, you know, just move to another one.
How did you find it? I met my husband on Craigslist, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was years ago. This is the beginning of internet dating. Was not that savvy. So on the interracial dating sites, what do you think moves the men who are not men of color to look onto these sites? Do you think they're looking specifically for a black woman, or they're just opening their options as white men tend to do?
Yeah, I think most of them are just looking to broaden their options. But my husband was actually looking for a woman of color.
Okay.
He had dated other women of color before he found me. So, but that was just his preference.
That's interesting. No problem with that. You know, you like what you like.
Yeah.
In your book, I wanted you touched on this a little bit, but how does class come into play in dating?
It's more about, I would say, career too. If you can, because both people need to see, you know, kind of eye to eye, and I think, you know, some men can be a little intimidated by professional women if they're not, you know, equally educated or equally, you know, I think that's the main problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if two people can get over that, then, you know, I don't see any reason why, you know, they can't, you know, be together.
So it's more important the goal that someone has right. for their future as opposed right. to where they are right. in the present.
And I wanted to comment a little bit back on when you said about professional, the book mostly being for professional women. I do give some advice for some women that are not necessary. I mean, they may not consider themselves professional, but it seems, I mean, I haven't really heard women from other classes have the issue where the man, you know, sees their education or their career as threatening. So, you know, that would be the only reason why I would say the book is mostly for professional women.
It also seems like those are the women who are making the most noise about not being able to find a partner in at this moment in
yes.
time. Not that women, true. You know, that working class women or women who are, you know, pre-college or maybe coming from a different situation aren't as concerned, but it seems like the emphasis
right.
is on these
That's
women
true.
Right now.
That's true.
Because
yeah.
you do cite, That's and these are widely known facts, that more women are graduating from college than men. It seems to be regardless of race. I really appreciate in the book how you touch upon how Caucasian women are starting to have a lot of the same problems. Caucasian professional women are having the same problems as Black women. So does your advice also apply to Caucasian women as well in terms of the suggestion to marry a Jewish man?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, I would say so.
Now, this was interesting to me because I'm not a religious person. However, I appreciate that religion is a large part of a lot of people's lives. And I really appreciate in chapter 9, you talk about how your faith has helped you to open yourself up to finding relationships. And I found this interesting because a lot of the women that I speak to who are women of faith say that they feel that God does not want them to have anyone, or maybe God wants them to be alone, which seems to me to be the opposite of where you're coming from. So I'm just wondering how you got to that point where you decided that it was God that was going to show you the way and help you to open yourself up, whereas a lot of people see it as the opposite.
I was at a point where I just noticed that doing things my way was not, it just wasn't getting me anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had other problems that didn't have, you know, anything to do with relationships. And, you know, when I brought God into the picture, things began to look a lot brighter. So I thought perhaps maybe God could help me out with the relationship category.
Yeah, I'm amazed because I don't know if you've heard it before, but I have, you know, heard women how they're basically wearing their knees out praying for a man to appear and a man doesn't come. What's your advice or your response to that?
Well, I would say, what type of man? I think I would go more into what type of man. Because when I originally, I went to God with a prayer that had to do a lot with me as a person. I mean, he knows me as a person and who would be a good mate for me. So I just pretty much just, you know, I wrote down a lot about what type of man you know, personality wise. And then I prayed about it. So I think maybe they just probably need to, and really go into, you have to feel that, you know, you, it, when you've done all that you can do, then, you know, then you lay it, then you give it to God. But you, it has to be, you know, you have to feel that in your heart.
I have a suspicion that a lot of these women have not done all that they can do so far. So, in, you talk about thinking about what kind of man is interest, what kind of man would be a good partner for a woman. How does that differ? Is that the laundry list approach, or how does that differentiate from that? Because the laundry list approach is basically, you know, a sister has 20,000 things on this list, and if a brother doesn't make that list, then meet all those things, then that's it. So how is your approach a little bit different from that?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, definitely more on the personality than saying he has to have a PhD. But, you know, this, I think focusing on knowing yourself as a person. Some of us need to really take the time to get to know who we are as a person. Too, and then it makes it a little easier to see who might be compatible with us.
In reading your book, I was thinking about all of the other books I've read about Black people and the economy, and there seems to be a lot of anxiety in the Black community now. Now, I'm talking in general here, obviously, because everyone is different and there are multiple Black communities. Mm-hmm. But in general, I get a sense that there's a lot of anxiety around the Black community cleaving into and becoming, you know, middle class and upper middle class, and then having the lower middle class or working class kind of left behind. So do you think that people feel that your book is in a way promoting that kind of separation in the Black community?
Perhaps. But some of the concepts that I talk about in the book could be expanded to working class, mm-hmm. as well. Yeah, I guess you could. Yes, we did actually have, well, we were more less separated during the 60s and 70s. So you have working class and professionals living in the same community. Mm-hmm. And I think that was another really excellent part of the 60s and 70s in our community.
I agree.
Because I actually, growing up in Cleveland, our neighborhood pharmacy and our neighborhood pharmacist was African American. And as you know, today I'm a pharmacist, but I think it did help having professionals living right there in the community and mentoring, you know, children in the area.
Yeah. And also to see, to just have a good mix of role models, mm-hmm. for you. Yes. But also at that time, you were seeing working class and middle class people in strong, committed relationships, yes. that were not, that had, right. nothing to do with how little or how much money they were making.
Right.
They, yeah, were in them.
That's true.
There's a book that I've read recently called Promises to Keep, and it's about, you know, poor and working class women in Philadelphia. And it's a cross section by race, but the class issue is still there for them. And one of the interesting things about women who are in these communities where there is no middle class is that their options are completely, they feel their options are completely limited towards the type of guy that they had. And whereas in the past, if you were a secretary, you might be able to marry that lawyer. If you were a paralegal, you may be able to marry that lawyer. Now we're finding that that lawyer wants to marry another lawyer.
Oh.
So I think it is a larger, you know, a larger issue that's more class-based. What books had you read before you wrote your book that you thought, maybe I need to add to this literature that's out there?
Let me see. It was, yeah, Steve Harvey's book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, mm-hmm. was one. And then, Jimmy Israel. Jimmy Israel's had a book that I read. Those two books really put a lot of the blame on Black women. A yeah. lot.
I know Steve Harvey's book did, and I was very disappointed from a brother who's been married multiple times that he's going to tell us how to get it together.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's more of a 50-50, maybe 60-40 in some cases. But definitely not the way he does it, 90-10, mm-hmm. where it's 10% of the, you know, on the males, and then 90% is the Black woman's fault. So I just, you know, try to even it out a little bit.
Yeah, and I think your book does a good example of that. Not only do you even it out, but you dispel a lot of the myths that are out there, common things that we want too much. We think we're too good for everybody. You know, we're too independent. All of these things that in my mind sound like positive qualities. You have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
You know what you want. That somehow come out to be negative qualities in our community.
Right.
You're listening to Regular Black Women with Jaquetta Sotmari. Regular women, irregular talk.
Always open-minded about dating outside of the Black community? And if not, when did you make the decision to kind of open yourself to that?
Oh, not until after college.
Mm-hmm. And you went to Howard, correct?
Yes, went to Howard.
Okay, so
undergrad at Ohio State, and then I went to Howard for pharmacy school.
So there's a large African-American community at OSU as well, correct?
No, I think, well, when I was there, it was, I think it was like maybe 10-15% mm-hmm. African-American.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was ample opportunity for dating there. But
there was opportunities.
Okay. So after your experiences dating there and then at Howard, what was there something in particular that made you open your mind to interracial dating?
Oh, no, I just said, I'm just going to try and see what happens. You know, I guess I just wanted to see what else was out there. Mm-hmm.
What was their response you received from family and friends? Were people supportive or were they skeptical? Did a lot of people tell you, you'll be back?
Yes. Yes, I heard a lot, I'll be back. Yes. Yes, I heard that a lot. Yes.
And how were your first experiences interracial dating?
The first one was not not that great. But, well, part of it was because the person was married.
Okay, yeah, that might be a problem.
Yeah, but then, you know, that I found out later. Okay. But in general, I mean, it's been okay. It was okay up in, you know. And then I made my Prince Charming.
Which is fantastic. It sounds like you guys have a wonderful marriage. You have a beautiful child.
Yeah.
It is a success story. Mm-hmm. So we know historically that African-American men do date outside of the race quite frequently. And that Black women are starting to put feelers out there now, but at a much lower rate. What do you think some of the things are that are stopping Black women from stepping outside to date?
I think they think they may not be accepted if the relationship gets, you know, serious. They may not be accepted by the person's family. They might think, you know, they might get some backlash from their own friends and family. Mm-hmm. Some don't think that men of other races actually think Black women are beautiful, but of course that's not true.
I don't understand where people get that from when we see how images of Black beauty are used to promote and to sell so many different products. I mean, everyone can't, no one can stop looking at Beyonce.
Everybody wants that bronze glow. Yes.
Everybody wants a healthy figure. Everyone wants full lips.
Yes, and a full, yes. Yes.
And even with all that out there, I could understand it maybe 30 years ago when there, you know, there was just one model.
Okay.
Or just two models. But nowadays we see so many examples of how Black women are desired.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem, you know, I can't buy that one as an excuse.
Right. Yeah.
I think also, or did you find that people found there would be a huge cultural difference between an African-American person and a non-African-American person?
Oh.
In dating?
I haven't heard that a lot.
Me either. I feel like we've all been here a really long time now.
Yeah, I think that's, well, that's kind of disappearing, I think, because we do have more interactions with, you know, other cultures and religions a lot more. So I don't really hear that too much.
In terms of having an interfaith marriage, how has that been for you? How has that worked out? I find that Judaism and Christianity are not so far apart from each other, but what has been your experience?
Yeah, well, me and my husband, we try to focus on the similarities between our two religions. I didn't really know a lot about the Jewish religion before I started dating him. So I think, you know, you just have to educate yourself. And because I really did have some, you know, kind of strange ideas about the Jewish religion. And so. Yeah.
Well, also it can be practiced like Christianity in so many different ways.
Right. That's true too. Yes, that's true too. So, but we just try and we keep that the focus. And I mean, I think it's good for kids to see, you know, your parents being tolerant of others' beliefs and faith, culture, because, you know, they're going to meet people in life and not everybody's going to feel the same way. You know, not everybody's going to think the same way.
Is there a particular aspect of Judaism or a holiday that you've really come to enjoy since you've been with your husband?
Yeah, I would say Hanukkah, and like Rosh Hashanah. They have a lot of high holy days that they celebrate. So it's fun to celebrate everything.
Yeah, I think so. I enjoy the Jewish. I live in a Jewish neighborhood, and I like any holidays. I'll just say that. But I like to learn about new holidays, and I love that there's always some food involved.
Yes.
In a Jewish holiday. And if you like that kind of food, it's a good opportunity to indulge in it.
Yes.
And there's always a lot of community as well.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of times to get together with family and friends and people in the congregation and chat quite a lot and eat quite a lot. So what are you hoping that readers will take away from your book? If there's one lesson that people could take away from reading your book, what would it be?
I would say to just relax and try to open your mind. You know, anything is possible, but you just have to be open to it.
That's hard for people. I like it. But that's a difficult task. So the title of your book is Why Every Black Woman Should Marry a Jewish Man. And then underneath it says, A Book for All Women Looking for the Perfect Alpha Male. So in your estimation, what is the perfect alpha male?
The perfect alpha male is, you know, a professional or a person with great leadership skills, but also has relationship skills. They know how to talk to people, understand others, a little bit sensitive, but where they can at least feel empathy. And I would say just usually they're kind of career focused. But see, the problem is most of the time, if you meet an alpha male, usually they don't have the relationship skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would say perfect alpha male, because with Jewish men, you can get the best parts of the alpha male without the negative parts that you normally get
Why do you think that the Jewish man is able to embody both of these qualities? So the sensitive part, but also the driven, career-oriented protector role.
I think a lot of it has to do with the community and how they grow up with great expectations. And then you couple that with the training in manhood and,
So you're talking
those
about
sorts of
the bat
things.
mitzvah ceremony.
Right, yeah. And just having those examples and the support of the community. And then they also have the family background, you have the family unit. And so that part is able to, kind of soften the other parts, the career driven and, so it's just a combination because of upbringing and family structure, and a community.
I sometimes wish that in our community we had some more formal rites of passage for both, women and men that would set clear, like a bar mitzvah, that would set a clear expectation or bar mitzvah, clear expectations of what is expected of you. I feel like we don't really have that in the black community writ large. We have it family by family, I feel, or maybe community by community.
Maybe.
But there's nothing that's kind of a universal way of setting a high
I
expectations
see what you're saying, yeah.
for our young people.
Yes.
I don't know where that would come
Okay.
from.
Well, perhaps, I mean, if the leaders get together and really sit down and have a meaningful conversation, maybe they can come up with something.
Yeah. What I really love about your book is that you acknowledge that we do have a lot of issues in the black community, and those issues do affect masculinity and how African American men conduct themselves in a wider society, and also set against the history of, racism and prejudice in this country. But it's important for women to remember that we cannot wait for all of these problems to be solved before we go out there and find the person that we're looking for.
Yes.
And also, we may not be able to solve these problems in time.
Yes, true.
So, did you find in your research or just in your everyday life that a lot of African American women are finding men that they think are fixer-uppers?
Yes, a lot. I do hear that a lot. But I mean, I think it's possible to if the person takes it seriously, I think, you can make those kind of strides and, they can put themselves in a position where, they're not going to be a fixer-upper anymore. But, you really have to be willing to look at yourself,
Okay.
look at the man in the mirror type of thing.
I mean, as it's a good phrase. It works here. Have you gotten any really strong negative responses from people?
Yes, I have
Can
on
you
Twitter.
share a little bit of that? Because keep in mind, people, this book is just trying to help women find a partner. And a
Well,
lot of the facts that are presented in this book are not, don't, they're facts and they may not make people happy, but that's the way that it is.
yeah, I they just think I'm being a little bit harsh, too critical of black men. They think I'm bashing black men in the book. I but a lot of this is not from people that have actually read the book.
Oh,
So
really? Okay.
I'm hoping that once they read the book, they'll have a better understanding.
They're
But I
basing
guess
it.
if you're just going off the title, it is kind of it's shocking. But I believe that, we need the shock. Our community needs the shock. because we can't take, you know, really not one more day of what we have in our community. Hopefully this can be the spark to you know, to something changing.
I agree. I think that something needs to happen now because the deterioration is rapid within the family yes. unit. And I just anecdotally from being a, you know, a professional woman, I'm almost 40. A lot of my female friends who are out there and they're still looking for this, this black man that does not exist. And if he does exist, is not looking for them.
Okay.
And I would hate to see those women miss their opportunity to find someone and to have the family and the life that they want to have because they are trapped in this, you know, narrow construct. At the same time, for people who are upset about the title, why every black woman should marry a Jewish man, they should be thinking about how can we make the black man so attractive that the next book coming out is why everybody should marry a black man. Yes. That's what you should be your goal. If you're upset about it, then instead of bashing the book, first read it, of course. Mm-hmm. But then consider what the author has said in here and how can those things be solved. This book is not about solving the problems in the black community. You do highlight them and that makes people upset. But, you know, the information is out there. So if you want to fix the black community, if you want to really work with young brothers or older brothers, then do so.
Yes.
I would say.
Well, I just wanted to let everyone know that there is a copy of my mother-in-law's matzo ball soup recipe in the book.
I saw that, and I love matzo ball soup.
And just, they can get the book at Amazon and Kindle and BarnesandNoble.com.
Excellent. If people are looking to interact with you, do you have any social media set up around the book?
Well, I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
They can look me up there.
Excellent. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me about your book. I really enjoyed reading it, and I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Regular Black Women with Jaquetta Sotmari. If you want to find out more information about Regular Black Women or you'd like to be a guest, please email us at regularblackwomen@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at rbwpodcast and also on Tumblr at rbwpodcast.tumblr. In addition, you can visit our homepage, regularblackwomen.com. Regular Black Women is a Big Guns, Big Tobacco production.